Spirit Blade Underground, April 15th, 2011.
Warning, access restricted, enter password, DNA verification, processing, verification complete, access granted, welcome.
Spirit Blade Underground, April 15th, 2011.
Hello and welcome again to the Monitor Room at the Spirit Blade Underground podcast. I'm Peter France and the creator of Spirit Blade Productions. We're bringing you Christian sci-fi and fantasy that's unsterilized, unsafe, and unleashed on your ears and imagination. You can check out what we're doing, grab lots of cool downloads over at www.spiritblade.net. All right, let's get into some updates.
File access. Update.
Well, first, this is more of an announcement than an update. I am terribly sorry. I want to apologize to author Carrie Neitz, who I had on the show last week. I misspelled his last name. I corrected it on the podcast page as best I could, but in the actual file, if you're looking at the MP3 file, his name is spelled incorrectly. His last name is spelled N-I-E-T-Z. N-I-E-T-Z. And his website, again, Carrie Neitz, Carrie, K-E-R-R-Y, Neitz, N-I-E-T-Z.com. And he's the author of the Dark Trench series. So I want to apologize again, Carrie, for messing that up. But I hope you guys will go and check out his stuff and see if it's your thang. Let's see, you can get a glimpse of what I've got on my agenda behind the scenes on the April 13th post at the Spirit Blade, at spiritblade.net/blog. I kind of took inspiration from Rip Hunter's chalkboard. DC fans will know what I'm talking about. And just pasted my current agenda list up there. It's full of unexplained phrases that some obvious, some not. That might give you a hint of what I'm scrambling to do behind the scenes these days. So if you want a hint at what I'm doing or what may be coming, go check out the April 13th post at spiritblade.net/blog. And lastly, the Spirit Blade Enhanced Audiobook, read by me and produced using a scoring from the Spirit Blade Trilogy as well as sound effects from the Spirit Blade Trilogy. It is almost here. At this point, all of your suggestions for online hosting of the Spirit Blade audiobook seem to be in, and I'm beginning the submission process now. I'm hoping the book will be available for free in multiple places online for an official launch announcement sometime in the next 2 weeks. For those of you who are podcasters or who know a podcaster who might be interested, I'm offering a free download of Spirit Blade's special edition, the audio drama, to any podcaster who plays all 12 parts of the Spirit Blade audiobook on their podcast. And this is a standing offer. It's got no expiration date. I mention it now because we got the launch coming up, and also because summer is coming up. It's a great way for podcasters to take a break from podcasting, as some do over the summer, while still keeping their feed alive with new content. So an easy way to kind of keep the momentum going on their podcast. So consider suggesting the Spirit Blade audiobook to your favorite podcasters. Interested podcasters can email me to request the audiobook at Pater, P-A-E-T-E-R, at spiritblade.net, and as soon as all 12 posts are up in their feed, I'll send them a download link for the audio drama. Stay tuned for more on the launch of the Spirit Blade Enhanced Audio Drama book. Did I say that right? Spirit Blade Spirit Blade Enhanced. I was doing so good. I was on a roll. Dang it! All right, stay tuned for more stuff on the Spirit Blade audiobook coming up soon on the show today. I've got an interview with Christian fantasy publisher Grace Bridges, so hopefully you guys will get connected to, if you're interested, you know, in Christian-themed sci-fi and fantasy. I've had one publisher on before, and I'm happy to have another one on today and to kind of open up a new world to those of you that are looking for that kind of content. Grace Bridges, the creator of Splashdown Books, is talking with me today. And I'm also reviewing the fantasy comedy Your Highness. All right, let's get to it.
The future.
A world with a quest for truth is a thing of the past.
Look, your truth just isn't true for me, okay?
The truth does not require your belief. It simply is, regardless of your personal convictions.
I think the world's been blinded, Ebony. Everybody claims to be spiritual, whatever the drac that means, but nobody really knows anything about the spiritual world.
Merrick, this is crazy. You can't talk like this.
And they'll do anything to keep it out of our future.
It's Atlantis! They found us again!
An alien race has blessed us with amazing technology.
Merrick, the world we live in is incredible.
While a race of demons destroys who we are.
Do you believe in the supernatural, Mr. Vandarius?
He shall bathe in your blood, human.
Brothers, tonight marks the end of our subjection to the only. Humanity will be wiped from the map of history.
We've traveled across our world and even into another.
What we can see with our eyes is of little consequence in the grand scheme of things. It is what occurs in the other world around us that should have us concerned.
What the press just happened? Was that the
other world?
We've been hunted by humans, aliens, and things I don't have a name for.
I'm the future, Vincent. The ultimate life form.
There's too many of them! One goes down and three more take its place!
All because we're looking for the one weapon that can bring an end to this conflict forever.
Give me the sword!
A weapon known only as the Spirit Blade.
Oh, I can feel its power from here!
Oh yeah? Well, tell me what this feels like.
For more information, visit spiritblade.net.
Publisher interview, movie review.
Well, I'm sitting here speaking with Grace Bridges, who is connecting with me all the way from Auckland, New Zealand. Grace Bridges is...
Hey,
all right. Grace is the owner of Splashdown Books. Grace, thanks so much for taking the time to talk to me.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Tell me about Splashdown Books. What is that? What's it all about?
Splashdown Books is an independent publisher dedicated to inspirational science fiction and fantasy. And all of our authors are Christians, and we have a message in our books varying from the overt to the not overt at all.
Okay. Now, so there's kind of a range of how much the Christian content is involved in the books, or is it all kind of as noticeable in all of them, you'd say, or what's your take on that?
Well, it's noticeable in most of them, and in the others you would know it, you would spot it if you knew it was there.
Okay.
It's sort of an allegory type thing in some of them.
Okay.
So yeah.
Okay, and you're an author there as well. You've just written Legendary Space Pilgrims. That's an interesting title. So give me kind of the premise there of Legendary Space Pilgrims.
Well, basically, it's kind of like space. It's Pilgrim's Progress in Space is how I describe it.
Okay.
And it starts off with these two kids on a strange planet, and this voice starts speaking to them and calls them to leave the planet, and they travel through these different planets and they have different challenges to overcome. And on the sixth planet, they find out that there's a legend that was all about them. So that's where the legendary comes in. And I just like the word legendary, to be honest.
Who doesn't like the word legendary? let me see. Now, what's the tone of the book? Is it pretty light? Is it serious, or is it dark, or kind of where does it fall on that spectrum?
Well, it may seem a bit dark to begin with, but it pretty soon lightens up when they escape the slave planet. And I just think it's more like adventure type stuff.
Okay.
Not heavy, not too light, just right.
Okay, cool. So if you're in the mood for kind of just a fun adventure story, then that's the kind of tone of Legendary Space Programs. What are your kind of your inspirations and influences as you tackle something like this? I mean, obviously you're drawing from John Bunyan's original work. What other kinds of influences have found their way into the writing of this project?
Well, interestingly enough, I got most of the story in a dream.
Oh.
I was actually all set to write a different book, which would have been the sequel to my first, but this dream got in the way, and I had to write it down.
Okay. Well, that's kind of like Bunyan. I mean, the way he approached the original was that it was a dream, and then he presents it that way. So does it follow the Pilgrim's Progress story, or does it kind of is the commonality that it came from a dream?
No, neither, really. It's just the fact that it's pilgrims who are called from a place of oppression.
Okay.
To a place of freedom and the different challenges that they have in between. There's no direct parallel to the story of Pilgrim's Progress at all, just from the character of the story and the nature of the journey.
Okay, cool. So it has the name Pilgrim in common, and maybe a few similar kind of themes in terms of journey. But this is an original story, is what you're saying, yeah?
That's right.
Okay, cool. Now, when I look at the term Christian fiction, that kind of has like a wide range of possibilities there. You could have Christian fiction that is written by a Christian for Christians with really strong, obvious Christian themes. You've got stuff somewhere in the middle where it's, you know, written by a Christian, but the themes are subtle, and you know, you could probably see them without looking too hard, and you know, or maybe you do have to kind of look hard for them. And then there's also, you know, Christian fiction that's just kind of basically fiction for anybody, that's just kind of written, that happens to be written by a Christian. Where would you say that Legendary Space Pilgrims falls in that?
Probably the last one. I mean, I know there's a supernatural voice in it, but being set so far in the future, there actually isn't any relation to the Christian faith as we know it now.
Okay.
All they know is that this voice is speaking to them and guiding them to a better life, and that's all they know. And they're going to find out more in the second book, but yeah, anyone who's comfortable with contact with God will have no problem.
Okay, cool. Cool. You said there's a second book, so is this a planned series or like a trilogy or just two books, or what are you thinking?
I don't know yet. I know there's got to be a second one, but after that, who knows? I'm kind of planning to wrap it up in the second one, but seeing as it's not written yet, I don't really know.
Okay, that's probably a safe answer. Who do you think, as you think about, you know, kind of your audience, you know, you mentioned that that's really accessible to everybody, which is great. But if there's a group of people that you think will especially geek out and get excited about this book, who do you think those people are?
Well, I suppose it would be the people who go to blockbuster movies that are science fiction related, and of those people, the ones who believe in God, or don't mind that idea, I suppose, because when you look at the blockbuster movies, most of them are science fiction,
mm-hmm.
or a large number, to my eyes, and even though those people maybe don't read so many books, they do go to a lot of movies, and it's exactly the same kind of thing.
Mm.
So, yeah, those are the people that I would really like to get it into the hands of.
Okay, so where can those people and everybody else find information about you, what you're doing, about Splashdown Books, and of course, where can they buy your books?
Right, well, we have our main website at splashdownbooks.com, and the books are on Amazon as well. Just put my name in there, or just Google me. I'm all over the web.
Cool. Awesome. Splashdownbooks.com or on Amazon. Grace Bridges, the author of Legendary Space Pilgrims. Grace, thanks so much for talking to me.
Hey, thank you very much.
Well, I'm going to keep my review of the movie Your Highness fairly brief because, frankly, I don't really want to spend any more time thinking about Your Highness than I have to. What could have been a comedic love letter to fantasy movies of the 80s turned out to be a picture of the genre with poop smeared all over it. Your Highness stars Danny McBride as the disgruntled, jealous brother of beloved and heroic firstborn prince Fabius, played by James Franco. The solid cast, which also includes Zooey Deschanel, or is it Zoe? It's spelled with two O's. I've never been quite clear. I like her. I think she's good. Zooey Deschanel and Natalie Portman. Unfortunately, even this solid cast can't save this movie from continual, out-of-context, heavy-handed, and childishly crude sexual humor. The script reads like a strange blend of ancient high fantasy and modern eighth-grade locker room. Now, I'm not one for crude sexual humor to begin with, but it seems to me they could have gotten more laughs if their jokes had been more subtle, accomplished through innuendo while still staying in a more consistent high fantasy tone. I think that would have been funnier. As it is, the jokes invade the movie over and over again like Chris Farley in a china shop, which is actually a bad comparison because Chris Farley in a china shop, I think that'd be pretty funny, actually. But anyway, McBride, who wrote the script, said jokingly in an interview recently that the humor of the film might be enhanced by the use of drugs. It was kind of referred to as inspired by stoner films, partially. Well, I would imagine he's right, actually, and that a drug-induced haze may be the only way to make these jokes seem the least bit clever or certainly subtle. There are two scenes that showcase some cool, slightly nostalgic-looking spellcasting visuals, and these were a lot of fun to watch. Very cool. And the creepy witch mothers in service to the evil wizard add some unsettling weirdness that I welcomed. I was like, ooh, they are creepy and cool-looking. Oh, but the heavy-handed gags and a few minutes of brief on-and-off nudity that served no purpose except to objectify actresses ended up being just too much. As you can imagine, I think you'd have to work insanely hard to have anything worthwhile to talk about after seeing this movie. I'm really wishing I'd never seen it. Someone on the forums pointed out that they watched an uncensored trailer online for it that totally turned them off. I wish now I would have seen that. I don't know where you could see that, because I probably would have seen enough of the sense of humor kind of uncut there to know, oh, crap, this is totally not going to be my thing. And then another person, maybe it was the same person on the forums, I can't remember now, mentioned that the title Your Highness, they learned, was related to doing drugs, which the characters do. They kind of like smoke ancient weed or whatever they're doing. But man, if I would have, even walking out of the theater, I didn't know that. Why do they call it Your Highness? I still don't quite get that. But geez, if I would have figured that out, that would have been a huge tip off for me to avoid this thing like the plague. Anyway. I guess if I can steer anyone else from it, I guess that's something. It's rated R for strong, crude, and sexual content, pervasive language, nudity, violence, and some drug use. Quality, I give it a 4.0 out of 10, and relevance, 3.0 out of 10. Now, if you're looking, if you're thinking, Peter, you it was like you just wailed on this thing. You're giving it a 4? Why not less? Well, if you want more information about my scoring system, if it ever seems confusing to you, go to spiritblade.net/review scores. That's a page that I just set up in the last week or two that I think will give you guys some insight into how my review scores work. spiritblade.net/review scores. It explains both what I mean by quality and relevance, and also what the individual points mean in each of those categories. You might notice some holes in the kinds of things I review. I mostly stick to movies. If you'd like to join the Spirit Blade Underground by contributing a review, news, or other geekiness of any kind, it can be movies too, even though I mostly do movies, send a written email or a recorded audio file to Pater, P-A-E-T-E-R, at spiritblade.net to get it on this podcast. You can also record your content for me to play on the show by calling 206-350-1226.
Every word of God proves true.
Doctrine will set you free.
The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever.
Doctrine will set you free.
Today we're searching for truth in the book of Romans. We're looking at chapter 8, verses 32 through 39. I'm going to read that from the NASB translation of the Bible, which says, "He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, Paul's been teaching that the Christian's right standing with God, justification, and his eventual transformation by God into an eternal perfect being, that's glorification, is a done deal. Once we choose to place ourselves in God's care through the saving work of Jesus, there is no chance of us losing the future promised to us by God. God already went so far as to give up his son to a life of difficulty and pain, which ended in humiliating torture. Jesus is not God's son in the same way that we are the children of our parents, but God uses terms like Father and Son to describe his Trinitarian, his three-person, one-God nature in ways we can partially understand. So imagine for a moment what it would be like for a parent to willingly give their child over and watch them be tortured for someone who doesn't even know or like them, or someone who even hates them. Imagine a parent who would be willing to do that. Paul points out that if God is willing to do this, he won't hesitate to follow through and give us everything else he has created, which has infinitely less value than the son he has already given up for our sake. Look at verse 32. If any person, whether human, angel, or demon, were to pronounce judgment on us, you know, claiming that we belong in hell, they'd be wasting their time and breath. If they're saying that to us as believers in Christ, God, the judge of all, has already justified believers. This means that he's already declared them not guilty. So the trial is over, not guilty. Now, he doesn't say that because they're such good people, but because Christ offered the gift of payment for their sins through his death, proving he had the right and power to do this by rising from the dead. Christians are justified, they're declared not guilty by God because they accept this gift and trust in it. Jesus is in the highest position of authority next to God the Father. That's what it means when the Bible here says, at the right hand of God. And he uses that authority to make our case. So God, in totality, is both the advocate, our attorney, and the judge of believers. And in both roles, he's declaring us as believers in Christ not guilty. Look at verses 33 and 34. Paul argues that no person, no thing, no force or event can separate believers from the agape, that's the Greek there, the charitable, selfless love of God. Suffering from disease or natural cause does not mean God has abandoned us. When we suffer financial difficulty and run short on necessities like food and clothes, God hasn't stopped caring for us in the least. When we find ourselves in dangerous circumstances or facing martyrdom, God is no less present and lovingly involved in our lives than before. Now, I'm not saying that because this is easy for me to say and easy for me to believe in, because I know what it's like to be in a rough patch in life and say, God, where are you? Have you just moved on to other things? I'm saying this because this is what's being taught here in verse 36, and it's the truth, whether or not we feel it all the time. Paul quotes Psalm 44, which acknowledges God's power to bring about both victory and defeat or difficulty in our lives. Although God may not directly bring about pain in our lives, various instances of suffering are factors in a grand cosmic equation that God is in control of and uses to bring about his purposes. Now let's jump back for a second to verse 28 of this chapter, which says, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. It's because God is in control and using everything, even evil and suffering, to bring about the ultimate good for believers that Paul can say we are victorious, even now in the middle of the pain and difficulty that life brings us. We are the victors in this conflict because of what Jesus has done for us out of love and because of the eternal future that is already guaranteed to us no matter what we may experience now in this dot on the line of eternity we call a lifetime. As believers, nothing we experience or are influenced by in life, whether right now or in the unknown future, can separate us from God's love for us, which was revealed through the life, the sacrifice, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Look at verses 38 through 39. Next, we're going to look at how Jews factor into Christianity. And the coffeehouse question for this week, do you ever have moments, periods, or even seasons where you doubt that Jesus has really declared you not guilty and that your eternal future is guaranteed? What triggers those kinds of doubts inside of you? For me, when I have doubts like this, it's usually as a result of not remembering the truth that God has expressed already in his word. You know, it's when I make the mistake of comparing God to me, when I think to myself, man, how can God over and over and over again continue to forgive me again and again and again and again for the same stinking thing over and over and over and over and over again? How has he not given up on me? That doesn't make any sense to me. And it won't make sense as long as I think of God like I think of myself. But God, unlike me, has no expectations of my success or failure. I mean, he knows exactly what I'm going to do. And so he's never like shocked or disappointed. And he never says to himself, oh, here we go again, because he knew from the beginning of time that we'd here we go again, however many times I'm going to here we go again, you know, on whatever the sin is. So I think the more I remember who God is, the less I kind of have those kinds of doubts. For me, when I kind of have doubts about my future, about eternity, it's these fleeting, flashing doubts that come in that say, well, what if this is just a bunch of bull crap? You know, what if this is just, you know, stuff made up by people? And again, that's when I'm forgetting the facts, you know. Then when I stop in those moments and say, okay, well, let's look at the data that we have. Let's look at the manuscripts. Let's look at all the evidence we have and say, and see, is this reliable? Are these truth claims being put out, by these words written down thousands of years ago? Are they viable? Is there evidence to support them? And the more I think along those lines, you know, the quicker I get back on track. I'm like, oh yeah. It's nuts to think that, that it's all just, you know, something that was made up. So I'd love to get your thoughts on, you know, where, what triggers your doubts when you have, seasons or periods or whatever in your life where you're doubting the truth of Scripture, or when you're specifically doubting that Jesus has really declared you not guilty and that your future is guaranteed. You can send me your thoughts on that at paeter@spiritblade.net for me to read on the show, or give me a call and leave a message I can play on the podcast at 206-350-1226.
Incoming transmission.
I got a couple of emails this week. One from Tim O, who sent me a cool link I'm going to put in the show notes for the Green Lantern movie costume. You've probably seen some of it in the trailers by now, but this is kind of like a... it's a still shot of multiple angles of the costume, so you can kind of analyze it a little bit more closely. And I thought it was really cool. I saw some things I'd never noticed before. And so, again, that's in the show notes if you want to check that out. Tim writes, I don't know, the costume looks really good. I like the organic look in the legs, the ribbing in the black. It almost looks like the Jamie Ray's Blue Beetle costume. The mask still looks really painted on, but I guess I can overlook it because it's all made of energy. I think I can suspend my disbelief for that. Then again, it all comes down to movement, like you always say. But unlike you, I really like the look of the aliens. I think they all look incredible. Ah, well, to each his own. I cannot wait for this movie. I think I may have to bring a towel. LOL. I thought the images looked cool. I'm a little iffy about like being able to see his toes, kind of. You'll have to check out the link to see what I'm talking about, but I'm not sure how I feel about that. let's see here. David A. writes, "Dear Peter, a while ago you reviewed the Hunger Games book on your podcast, so I thought you might want to know that there is a Hunger Games movie coming out on March 23rd, 2012. There's no trailer yet, but here's the link that I found about it," and I've put that link also in the show notes. He continues to write, "I tried to refresh my memory on whether you liked it or not, but for some reason that specific podcast wouldn't download. I thought you might be interested in that." Anyway, again, David, sorry about the problem with the download. I'm not sure where you were downloading it from, but last I checked, it's working good on SpiritBlade.net. So if you go to, if anybody wants to hear that review, SpiritBlade.net/podcast is the place to go, and then just do a little search for Hunger Games. There's a search field on there on that page somewhere. I can't remember where exactly, but and if you're kind of fuzzy on what I thought about that movie, it's because I actually didn't review it, technically. That was a review submitted by someone else, my sister, in fact, who's a Hunger Games fanatic, and so I read her review on the show. So anyway, yeah, spiritblade.net/podcast, then do a search on Hunger Games if you want to find that, and check the show notes for those two cool links there. Lastly, as we wrap up here, don't forget to sign up for our new newsletter. It's your monthly dose of the biggest news, discounts, and free content from Spirit Blade Productions, including some huge discount opportunities and giveaways not advertised anywhere else. We've already had one. I haven't said anything about it on the show. You're not going to hear about me talking about these big, huge discount blowouts anywhere else. You're going to miss it if you're not signed up to that newsletter. SpiritBlade.net/newsletter is the place to go. You just enter your email into the field, and if you change your mind, it's got an easy one-click unsubscribe. But anyway, SpiritBlade.net/newsletter. Guys, have a great week, and as always, let's do what we can to seek the truth.
Visit www.spiritblade.net. Peter is a crazy freak. Green Lantern is awesome. Visit www.spiritblade.net.